Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
We know the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends just 2 hours of screen time, total screen time a day for kids. But then where do iPads and iPhones and computers for school come into that picture? And what age do you give your children a cell phone and get them involved in all this technology? My guest is Dr. David Hill. He's a fan favorite here at Healthy Children and Vice President of Cape Fear Pediatrics in Wilmington, North Carolina. Welcome to the show, Dr. Hill. So kids need computers now for school. They get Chromebooks. They have their iPads. They have cell phones. Tell us about what's going on out there and what, as parents, should we be allowing them to use these things for outside of school?
Right. So, you know, when we think about electronic time, we like to distinguish between work time and entertainment time. So we say, you know, 2 hours a day is sort of the top of what we'd like to see. We're talking about 2 hours of play time, right? 2 hours of watching TV or playing a video game or social media. But we don't really count the time that kids are spending doing schoolwork or research. And so to answer that question, the first question is, you got to know what the child is actually doing with the device. And so we like to, for parents to be able to check on those devices, to look at a search history, to be able to pull the device name out and say, hey, let me see what you're doing. We like kids to be using their devices in sort of an open spot, right? Ideally at the kitchen table or wherever the family gathers, or you know, if they need a little bit of privacy, maybe in their bedroom with the door open. Kids will figure out, right, how to get around almost any control, but you'd like to make it a little harder, and you'd like to make yourself as aware as possible as a parent of what the child is doing so that you can make sure the time they're spending really is that schoolwork and constructive time.
Okay, so you feel that we have the right to turn the computer around and say, hey, what are you working on? And I can just picture you doing that, Dr. Hill, with your five children. And I definitely do it with mine. So when they have their phones, and kids are so connected these days, they've got an earbud in one ear and they're texting constantly. And I mean, they just don't barely take their eyes up off the phone. What do you recommend? Is that considered screen time? And do you say, put it down now? I mean, I do that. I say, put it down. It's enough.
Yeah, you know, I think it depends on what else is going on. We just came back from a two-week family road trip through the western United States, and there were a lot of times where there was something really interesting that we were passing at, you know, 70 miles per hour, and you go, guys, look at this. And if people had earbuds in and they were looking down and they were texting their friends, they missed some amazing, cool stuff. So we had to take time and say, look, okay, right now everybody has got, like, we got 10 hours on this road trip. You got a three-hour cell phone budget. Use it as you'd like. But there's actually an app you can get that tracks your kid's cell phone usage if you want to use it. And, you know, literally say, here's the time you got, here's what's left. And for the rest of the time, you need to be engaged, because what's the point of putting the family in a car for 10 hours if you're not going to talk to each other and look out the window and see stuff that you never saw? Of course, when you encourage a family conversation, whether it's in a car, at the dinner table, or wherever you happen to be, people say things that, you know, you have to deal with, right? Sometimes they're not all nice. Sometimes you're like, you know, it's just more peaceful if everybody stares at their telephone. However, you don't learn to engage each other if everybody is staring at their telephone. So whether you miss a particularly interesting cow or a rock formation, or you miss a really important interaction between two of your kids, you have to put some limits on the staring at the phone time if you want them to engage with each other and with you and in the world around them. And that's how kids learn, is by engaging.
I agree with you completely, Dr. Hill. In my house, it is, you know, not a democracy. It's really a dictatorship. And if I feel that it's going on just a little too long, I'll just say, put it down, or I'll take it away. And then they always put it right down and, you know, and then they apologize. Oh, sorry. But then, you know, you look away for 5 minutes and they're right back at it. Now, where iPads and these Chromebooks for school are concerned, kids get them from the school and they do have some controls on them. But the kids are allowed to go on YouTube and certain things. do we consider that school related? Do we say, you know, that's your school Chromebook. Don't be using it for YouTube.
Yeah, you know, there is a hazy line, right, between what is schoolwork and what's not schoolwork, what's constructive, what's not constructive. And I think to some extent that's going to be parent by parent, right? Some things are clearly on that line. You know, looking up articles for a paper that you're writing or doing your online textbook. Where our kids go to school here in North Carolina, the textbooks are all online. You can't get your hands on a paper textbook, and you have to go online and sign on. So clearly that's schoolwork. If you're looking at YouTube and it's related to your report, I guess that's schoolwork. If you're, you know, playing World of Warcraft, then that's clearly not schoolwork. And sometimes you got to decide, well, Minecraft may be a pretty productive game. Maybe I don't mind my kids playing Minecraft for an hour a day. Maybe they're looking up how to do magic card tricks on YouTube, which is something one of my sons really enjoys. On the other hand, maybe they're, you know, looking at somebody's blog, which has got a bunch of, you know, obscene jokes on it or something, and then you think, well, this is not a good use. So it really comes back to watching what your child is doing, having that knowledge, and then sort of plugging that into your own family's values.
Dr. Hill, how do you resist the temptation that kid has the iPhone 5C. I've only got this little crappy phone. That kid has the iPad latest, you know, whatever. How do you resist that as a parent when your child says that to you? Because I've been hearing it more lately than I ever have.
Yeah, sure. Well, one thing is it's easy for us is, look, we can't afford that even if we wanted to give it to you, right? I mean, that's, you know, a lot of people are in the place where, look, your friends are always going to have something you can't afford. And for the vast majority of us, that's the case. So it's easy to say, yeah, that's great. You know, you will be a very unhappy adult if you're always looking at what somebody else has that you don't. Sometimes if you are lucky enough to be able to afford it, maybe you can make that a long-term goal and decide what goals you have, whether it's a chore, an accomplishment at school, you know, being nicer to your brother or your sister, showing excellent manners for the next month or 6 months, and say, well, this is something you can work toward, and here's what the goals are, and come up with a mutually accepted goal and how you're going to measure it, how you're going to know whether it was done or not. So it can be a tremendous motivational tool if it's within your budget to do these things. And if it's not, well, you know, this is an important life lesson. Everybody can't afford everything they want.
So in just the last minute and a half, Dr. Hill, wrap up school and technology for us, navigating those decisions around giving your child a cell phone, allowing them to take iPads to school and use those school Chromebooks. Kind of wrap it up with your best advice for parents in that dizzying world.
You bet. The most important thing is to keep an eye on what your child is doing. So you have to let them know that you can check at any point, and then you actually have to do the checking, and you have to agree upon what's appropriate and not appropriate. We're always in more trouble when kids can squirrel their devices away. We know that at bedtime and at nighttime is an especially bad time for kids to have devices with them. It tends to impair their sleep, their schoolwork. So ideally, you'd like the devices out of the bedroom at night. The rest of it is really a matter of communication and checking and diligence.
Absolutely, and that's such great advice. Parents, we have to be involved. And the main message that I think Dr. Hill is giving here is that you have to follow through. You have to follow through with information, looking at what your kids are doing, you know, and repercussions if they don't do as they say they're doing. But yes, they need to use this technology for school now. As parents, there's just no way we can get around it. And so you have to embrace it. Get to know it with your kids. Go on the websites with them where the school books are and the school sites and find out what it is that they're learning so that you're involved and you know what they're doing when they're doing it. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Healthy Children. Our expert guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics in conjunction with their consumer website, healthychildren.org. And if you missed any of the great information, you can listen anytime on demand or on the go at radiomd.com. Thanks so much for listening. Stay well.